Radio.
More than 100 people attended a vigil last night for two Milwaukee children who died in a house fire early Friday morning. Now, Milwaukee County Medical Examiner's Office is shedding new light on how the two children were trapped and killed in the house fire on the city's northwest side. After crews put out the flames, 11-year-old Michaela Miles was found in a second-floor bedroom in their Milwaukee home. Her 6-year-old brother, Marwan, was in the same bedroom where he hid in a closet. The report says their mother, Natasha Jones, had already led Marwan outside, but when Jones went back in for her 11-year-old, the 6-year-old boy went back in for his big sister, too. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the two children are the 5th and 6th people to die in Milwaukee fires this year. The cause of the fire is still under investigation. In Major League Baseball, the Cincinnati Reds beat the Milwaukee Brewers yesterday 6-3. Look at the Wisconsin forecast for today. It's going to be mostly cloudy across the state. There's a chance of showers and thunderstorms through the day and highs near 80. For tonight, partly to mostly cloudy with a chance of rain showers continuing, lows dropping down to the mid-50s to lower 60s. This is Wisconsin Public Radio News. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Support for NPR comes from Lumber Liquidators, a proud sponsor of NPR, offering more than 400 styles, including hardwood, bamboo, laminate, and vinyl, with flooring specialists in hundreds of stores nationwide. More at lumberliquidators.com or 1-800-HARDWOOD.
Support for WPR comes from Glassnickel Pizza. 17 years of employee and customer-inspired pizzas made from scratch at 8 Wisconsin locations. Dedicated to sustainability practices and community support. Glassnickelpizza.com. Support also comes from Dane County Family Acupuncture, a traditional Chinese medicine clinic offering acupuncture, massage, and the Alexander technique for health concerns that resist conventional treatment. Dane County Family Acupuncture on Monona Drive.
Happy Labor Day, or is it? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will continue a decades-long tradition this hour and talk about issues facing workers and the state of organized labor today. And we will welcome your questions and your views as we talk about the policies affecting labor and the politics of Labor Day with a guest from the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome in our guest. Stephanie Bloomingdale is Secretary Treasurer of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy, and happy Labor Day to you.
Is it a happy Labor Day?
Absolutely. Today is a day that we set aside to honor and reflect the gains of the American labor movement. And I'd like to say on behalf of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO President Phil Neuenfeld and our entire board of directors, I want to wish you and all of your listeners a very happy Labor Day today.
Yeah. Well, what is the, often the state's AFL-CIO has a Labor Day message. Do you have a Labor Day message for 2015?
Sure, absolutely. Well, today, you know, it looks like some rain out there and, you know, right now I'm a little bit, get my boys and their friends and my husband, all of us are going to get together and go to the Milwaukee Labor Fest that Sheila Cochran of the Milwaukee Labor Council does such a great job of organizing. And I'd encourage all of your listeners to go to one of the many Labor Day celebrations that are happening across Wisconsin today. And really, when we take this time to reflect, there's probably not a person or a family that has not benefited from the labor movement in Wisconsin. In this Labor Day, we recognize the incredible achievements of Wisconsin's working people and celebrate all of those who make our country run. Many of us will celebrate this weekend with barbecues, parades, and other types of family events, but this is also a time to truly consider what strengthens our families and take a look at the how failed public policies have diminished our working people's ability to sustain a good living and created an economy that is increasingly out of balance. And so on this day to reflect, as you and your listeners think about what the labor movement has meant to you, I think about my mom, who was a Milwaukee public health nurse, and she was active in her union with the Service Employees International Union. I also think about my uncles, who taught me as I was growing up about the importance of labor unions. And they were with the United Auto Workers and the United Steel Workers and the skilled building trades. And after they graduated high school, they joined a union, and they built a solid middle-class life for their families. And they did that because the union allowed them to do that. And the same thing has happened for so many people across Wisconsin. But right now we're seeing that people are struggling because of the attacks on labor unions in Wisconsin.
Let me pose that question to our listeners. What has the labor movement meant to you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Stephanie Bloomingdale is our guest secretary treasurer of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. Stephanie, back in the 1950s, unions could say that they represented about one of every three American workers, but today it's one in nine and falling. What's going on?
Well, there has been an unprecedented attack against working people and their ability to have decent wages. And that has formulated by those that are, in the top 1% of people that own the corporations, mounting an organized attack against working people and their labor union. And so we have seen that carry out over the last few decades. And we know, but people know that it is the American labor movement that has built the greatest middle class the world has ever known, that has allowed people to have jobs that are meaningful, that have a good pay, have good benefits, and allowed our families and our communities to thrive. But as those attacks on unions and working people have mounted, more and more people have been left behind. It reminds me of a story I just heard the other day from a friend in Wisconsin Rapids. And he said to me, Stephanie, 27 years ago, I had a job in Wisconsin Rapids, and the pay was $13.70 an hour. And that was a good wage, but it wasn't the best wage in the community. It was an average wage. But those 27 years ago, he made $13.70 an hour with benefits at a union job. And that wasn't even the top of the pay scale. And so at that time, think about it. What does that mean today? $13.70. People would now be saying, wow, that's a good wage. And gee, if you get benefits too, that's terrific. So really, what has happened in these past couple of decades that we've seen wages stagnate and really economic, the wages and the wealth of everyday working families be pushed further and further behind?
There was a recent Gallup poll out showing that 58% of Americans have a favorable view of unions, and that's up 5 percentage points from last year. What do you make of that increase?
This is good news for American workers because it shows that people, as they become more and more anxious about their economic futures, because people really are worried about not only themselves and their retirement, but also their kids and their grandkids, what's going to happen with their ability to have a decent job, a decent trade, a decent way of life? And people are understanding more and more that it is people coming together through their unions, people, workers coming together to say, we're a team. We are going to be, we want to have a common voice and a clear voice asking for fairness in the workplace. We don't want to make, take all the money. But workers should be able to have a fair wage. And that's what unions, which are a team of people coming together as a group to stick by each other, to have each other's backs, to ask for a decent wage in the workplace. And as Americans think about their place in the economic history of where we are, they are waking up and understanding that labor unions are the answer.
Organized labor took a couple on the chin since last Labor Day. Governor Scott Walker signed the Right to Work law that supporters say gives workers their own choice and their own voices back when it comes to whether they want to pay union dues or not. What's been the effect of the Right to Work law since it was made law in March?
Well, the Right to Work law that was rammed through the legislature in a lightning speed with very, very little public debate was designed to hurt working people and designed to hurt labor unions who are the working people that come together to have a say so in their workplace. In terms of the effects of Right to Work, we know that that labor unions in the private sector are organizing diligently and are working to make sure that people stay in the union. And we've heard many good stories about people deciding that, you know what, the best thing is to support my union and keep my union strong because it's the best chance I've got at keeping a good life for myself and my kids. So we're seeing a lot of organizing happening around that Right to Work bill.
And also in the state budget that was signed into law this summer, prevailing wage requirements for local governments were repealed and the federal prevailing wage would be used for state-funded projects. These changes will take effect in January of 2017. What is this going to mean for Wisconsin workers and the state's economy, for that matter?
Well, again, this is not good because we know that prevailing wages in the building trades keep value high for public projects. It makes sure that the quality on those projects are done well. And prevailing wage means good wages for our skilled construction workers in Wisconsin. And that means when wages are good for our building trades, brothers and sisters, that means that it lifts all wages for all workers. And the same with Right to Work. And so we see that these policies have been intended to weaken the Wisconsin workers' paycheck and to lower the wages that workers receive. But I want to let you know that the members of these unions and the members of the community are really doing everything they can to organize to make sure that that doesn't happen. So while it's very unfortunate that the legislators that passed these two pieces of dangerous legislation for Wisconsin did so by not caring at all about average working people, instead, they were only caring about the corporate donors like the Koch brothers that were giving them campaign contributions. And it's so unfortunate that they did this. And both of these laws, Right to Work and prevailing wage, were done in very short order in a very undemocratic fashion, which they should be ashamed that they conducted the democratic process in this way in Wisconsin.
You wrote an opinion piece that was in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this past July saying that Walker and the GOP took away the weekend. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce rejected that notion in a counterpiece saying that workers can now voluntarily waive the 24-hour rest period that had been granted to them by law every 7 days. So what's wrong with letting the worker forego that time off if he or she wants?
Well, it always has been that if a company wanted workers to work that seventh day in a row, they could appeal to the Department of Workforce Development. And in every single case that they did this, they were granted that ability to do that. So saying that this changes the landscape is false, absolutely false. But this is just another way that the GOP legislature is whittling away at worker rights in Wisconsin. And again, this was done right before the budget in one of the last joint finance committees. It was no debate on this measure. It was put into law. And saying to somebody, oh, who works for you, Well, you know, we really need you to work this Sunday, and, you know, I don't know what's going to happen if you don't. How does that worker really have the ability to say no? Because that may mean that if that person doesn't have a collective bargaining agreement, they could lose their job. And so this is a way to intimidate workers into working, you know, around the clock 7 days a week. And when you think about it, workers ought to have time off for their families, for themselves, to be able to rest. This is something that is written into the Bible, that on the seventh day you rest. It's important. People are not machines, and people need to have time off for themselves and their families.
We are talking with Stephanie Bloomingdale, Secretary Treasurer of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO, on this Labor Day 2015. It is an annual Labor Day tradition here at Wisconsin Public Radio, and we welcome your questions for her about issues facing labor. We welcome your answers to the question, what does the labor movement mean to you? Are you a member of a union? Do you support unions or not? Why or why not? Do you think they're still important in this day and age? Do you think they're irrelevant? We'll also talk some about the politics of Labor Day and the issues going on in the 2016 presidential campaigns, with Governor Walker now a group supporting Governor Walker, Governor Walker's PAC, releasing an ad supporting his candidacy. It focuses on his fight with unions in Wisconsin. We'll talk more about that coming up. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
We know what summer in Wisconsin sounds like. But we need you to show us what summer in Wisconsin looks like. So grab your camera and enter our Wisconsin Life Summer Life Photo Contest. Show us where you live, work, and play. Share your photos of the people and places that make summer in Wisconsin special. Submit your photos before Labor Day. Find entry details and contest rules at wisconsinlife.org.
Support for WPR comes from Associated Bank, providing more than $9 billion in commercial loans, backed by personalized teams dedicated to tailoring solutions to help businesses meet their goals. More at associatedbank.com. Member FDIC. Support also comes from CTM, presenting theater for all ages, including Shrek the Musical, A Christmas Carol, and To Kill a Mockingbird, at Overture Center for the Arts in Madison. Tickets available at ctmtheater.org.
Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up this afternoon between 3 and 6, it's Central Time. After 5, the State Assembly has put together a task force aimed at improving workforce readiness among Wisconsin students. Our guest from the task force will join us to talk about the process of getting people ready for careers. That and more coming up after 5 on Central Time. We are talking about policies affecting labor and the politics of Labor Day with a guest from the Wisconsin AFL-CIO, Stephanie Bloomingdale. She is Secretary Treasurer of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. Welcoming your questions and views for her at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let's take some calls. Harold in Tomahawk joins us. Hello, Harold.
Hello. I agree a lot with you saying about the unions, and the way Walker's running them out of the state is wrong. But I have been driving trucks for over 30 years, and I have a real problem with some of the unions. They don't do what they say they're going to do. They don't stand up for you, and the head of the unions are just, they seem to be just collecting money like the government and don't care about us. What do you suggest we do about that?
Stephanie?
Well, Harold, unions are democratic institutions, and I would say that if that's happening in your union, then I would encourage you to definitely get involved and to fix the problem, because like any organization, it takes good people in order to make it run properly. And so I would encourage you to get involved with your union, and if you feel that the collective, you all are not sticking up for each other as as much as you need to be, then I would suggest you work to try to change that. Because a union consists of individual workers, and that's what gives the power to unions. Individual workers coming together as a team, as a group, to stick by one another. So when things go wrong and people are not being treated the way they ought to be, then you have each other's back. And that's what makes a strong union. And so if you're having trouble with that, I would encourage you definitely to get involved, because that's a structure that can work. And you know what happens when there is no structure to help working people. And that's even worse. So I encourage you to get involved.
Thanks for the call, Harold. Good luck to you. Cynthia in Menominee is with us now. Hi, Cynthia.
Hello. I was a union member from the time the clerical employees organized for the Wisconsin State employees until I retired. It secured my job, and I was very good at what I did. It secured my job when there was a couple layoffs. It secured my job when I had bad supervisors twice. I was going to be fired, and I had no security. And one was, well, they were both bad management. But our union also brought the clerical employees, the program assistants, up to the same level of wages that our custodians. We were skilled employees, but we were not getting equal pay. And the union, including the custodial staff, the blue-collar staff, they helped negotiate for us. Without the union, we had no voice, absolutely no voice, and no protection. We could be laid off at will.
Yeah, and so Cynthia thinks certainly that unions are still relevant today. A reaction, Stephanie?
Well, absolutely. Cynthia says that without the union, we would have no voice and no protection. And that's so true for people in the workforce today. Being out there on your own is a dangerous place to be in this economy. And that's the basic idea behind unions, is that when you're in a union, you have your coworkers that stick by you and have your back, and you're a team, and you have your voice when you're in the union is stronger, because as an individual alone, it's very hard to negotiate with managers who have all the power. And so together, through coming together, we have worked for justice in the workplace. We've worked for better pay and working conditions and safety measures on the job, which helps not only union workers, but really helps all workers and therefore our entire community.
Yeah. I'm not at all hinting that Cynthia was a bad employee, but what about the argument that unions protect bad employees and that's not good for anybody?
Oh, absolutely not. If somebody's a bad employee, then they either need to shape up, or if they're given some chances to improve on their skills, then they need to leave. And that is something that that unions ensure that there's a fair process that employers have to go through, so that there's not arbitrary rules that are inflicted on individuals because of some kind of discrimination. But, people are expected to do the work and to do it well, absolutely.
Let's go next to John in Rib Lake. Hello, John.
Good morning. Thank you, Stephanie, for being on the show today. Thank you, Joy, for the question about, is the union movement done? I have to echo what Cynthia just said. I worked in a public sector my whole life, and I'd have been down the road. Well, they tried to put me down the road twice through personal vindictiveness on the part of management, had it not been for the union getting me a voice at the table so I could at least present my side of the story, I'd have been gone. But once other people in the management side heard what was going on, my position was sustained. But my comment, I guess, in question is, we hear so much about the union bosses being the evil bunch of people that they are. Well, I don't know about that. The union, as Stephanie said, is the rank and file. And the spin that the Tea Party and those sort have put on it is, you know, really not going to, well, they say they're against the union bosses, but actually it seems to me they have used propaganda to turn folks, you know, on the street against those of us who are union workers.
Your comment on that, Stephanie?
Well, I mean, certainly. I mean, you know, when you look at it, it's the union movement that has brought the American workers a thriving middle class. It's the union movement that has brought protections to workers like the 8-hour workday, weekends, overtime laws, child labor provisions, safety provisions in the workplace. And so because of that, we have seen, because of the gains that we have made as working people, there are folks out there like the Koch brothers that want to see that taken away. And they've come up with organized attacks on labor unions and have tried to, you know, really demonize them. But just like John says, that it is, unions are the rank and file. Unions are individuals that come together through their workplace to advocate for a better wages and working conditions for themselves. And without that ability in this country, we are going to have a very, very sad state of affairs in terms of where working people will find themselves. And so today on Labor Day, I hope that everyone really reflects on this, that these things that we believe are important. I mean, 58% of the country says right now that they value the right of workers to organize themselves in the labor unions. That can be taken away through you know, these politicians and the Koch brothers and such, and that it is going to be up to us to defend those rights for ourselves and our kids and our grandkids.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Stephanie Bloomingdale, Secretary Treasurer of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. This is our annual Labor Day show, and we're welcoming your questions and views about labor issues at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This week, a super PAC supporting Governor Walker's presidential campaign will begin airing a 60-second ad proclaiming Walker's victories over public sector unions. Let's take a listen to a part of that ad.
Madison, Wisconsin, 2011. Big government union bosses lead thousands of liberal activists in protest against Governor Scott Walker's bold reforms. They storm the Capitol, threaten his safety, even try to recall him. But Scott Walker never backs down. To eliminate a huge $3.6 billion deficit, he takes decisive action. The results? A $1 billion surplus, $2 billion in tax relief, the unemployment rate cut nearly in half, and Walker forces government unions to pay their fair share for benefits, just like everyone else does.
So, Stephanie Bloomingdale, we'll talk about the specifics of those claims in that ad, but I just want your reaction to this ad coming out during the week of Labor Day.
Well, it's shameful, really. I mean, this is, you know, Scott Walker jumping back on his bandwagon that he says that he's, you know, unintimidated. I mean, let's be real, Joy. We know that the people that came to Madison to speak out about this really horrendous law that Scott Walker was putting forth that was going to hurt working people. People that came to Madison were peacefully protesting, okay? I was there with my kids. People were there with their babies. It was teachers, snowplow drivers, police, firefighters, machinists. I mean, all the way down the line, these were working people that came together to say, Scott Walker, how do you think it's okay to take away worker rights in Wisconsin? It's wrong. It's bad for us. It's bad for our future. And we're not going to sit on our couch and complain about it. We're actually going to come to the Capitol and do what Americans have done since the beginning of our country, to come together to peacefully make our voice heard. And so for him to put it in a way that these people were intimidating him is just not true. It's a rewriting of history. And it just is really shameful. And, you know, as people were coming to the Capitol to make their voice heard, Scott Walker was not there talking to the people in the crowd. He was in the tunnel. He was in the tunnel between the parking lot and the Capitol, never to be seen by anybody, you know, that was there to talk about this issue. And furthermore, I think it's really important to talk about what happened there. He came forward with Act 10 and said he had to do this because of the budget. This was simply not true. In one way, he talked about the budget, but then he went further and took away the rights of public employees, public workers, to negotiate and to have a meaningful voice in their union. And so this was plain and simple union busting. And you know what? He never sat down with the public sector workers to negotiate a contract, to negotiate a deal. And I find this very, very, very irresponsible of him. And, you know, he should really think about this, and everybody should think about this, because he should have sat down with those public sector workers to find a solution. That's what a real leader does. And instead, what did he do? He just, because of his ideology, said, no, I'm not going to sit down, and ran through this really horrendous law that hurt workers. And so the question, you know, of right now is, he wants to be the president, but workers, he wants to be the president, but presidents are required to sit down and negotiate and to listen to other people. So if he can't sit down with a kindergarten teacher to negotiate over wages and working conditions, then how, as the president, is he going to be able to negotiate with the likes of Vladimir Putin?
Let's take a call from Dave in Kimberly. Hello, Dave.
Good morning, ladies. Thanks for taking my call. I was in a union for over 30 years, and it definitely had positive effects for us. I was wondering, however, are other states, are the unions in other states being attacked by the Republican politicians the way they have been in Wisconsin? And thank you very much.
Stephanie?
Unfortunately, absolutely they are. Their wave of 2010 that brought in a lot of these Republican governors that had their marching orders from the Koch brothers and from ALEC instituted anti-union measures in rapid order across the country. In Michigan, instituting right-to-work laws. In Indiana, instituting right-to-work laws. Right now in Missouri, we're seeing a big fight right now where we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks, but we feel like they are going to be able to prevail with their veto override in Missouri. Even in Illinois, Bruce Rauner, who's the new governor there, is attacking you know, private sector unions and public sector unions. So we're seeing this this anti-union policies happen throughout the country. And it really kind of brings us back to these economic policies that have been put in place have been choices that politicians have made. These are not things that just happened because the economy happened. So now, when people are feeling that they are struggling in their house with their household income, that are struggling for their ability to make it better for being able to have a decent middle class lifestyle, this is really directly because of the policies that have been implemented by politicians who had other choices. And that's why, as the labor movement, we want to find solutions to bringing our economy back and making our economy work for the working people of America, and not just the top 1 or 2%. And this income inequality that we are facing today has a direct effect, direct relationship to these union busting activities. And this income inequality that we're experiencing today, which is at similar levels to what we saw in 1929, right before the Great Depression, is weakening our country's infrastructure. And we need to turn it around.
There is a piece of where it notes that Scott Walker marked the start of the Labor Day weekend on Friday with a tweet that said, "In Wisconsin, we got rid of seniority and tenure. We hire and fire based on merit, pay based on performance. That's pro-worker." What's your response?
Well, Well, if that's pro-worker, I don't know what it says. But these policies, these things that he's talking about that he has done, let's look at what really has happened in Wisconsin. This report very recently that has come out says that Wisconsin is the worst in the nation in terms of the shrinking middle class. So Wisconsin ranks worst among the 50 states in terms of the shrinking middle class. So that's what's really happening in Wisconsin. And him taking out, and beating up on working people has not worked to lift the boats of working people in Wisconsin. Instead, it's taken us in the opposite direction. And people are frustrated with him. People are, and you've seen the recent polls that his poll numbers are plummeting in Wisconsin, and they're plummeting nationwide. So the proof is in the pudding. Scott Walker's policies aren't working.
Now, any reaction to the governor spending the holiday weekend riding a union-made Harley across New Hampshire?
Well, I say he's a phony baloney. I mean, to be sitting on that Harley Davidson motorcycle made by hardworking union men and women, and using this as a prop in his campaign is really shameful.
We are talking with Stephanie Bloomingdale, Secretary Treasurer of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO, about issues facing labor today, and we're welcoming your questions and views at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Support for WPR comes from American Transmission Company. ATC provides a pathway for power into communities throughout Wisconsin. ATC owns and operates the high-voltage electric transmission system that helps keep the lights on, businesses running, and communities strong. Support also comes from the Yahara River Fest this Saturday in DeForest, featuring a 5K trail tromp, nature-themed activities for children, and a wine walk for adults. Details on the Yahara River Fest Facebook page.
Stay with us here on the Ideas Network, coming up on Point after 9 o'clock. People want jobs and then more. Fulfillment, challenges, meaningful work. Given that, studies show, and the bottom line grows. So we'll talk about why we work coming up after 9 on Point. We are continuing our Labor Day tradition and devoting this hour to labor issues, talking with a guest from the Wisconsin AFL-CIO about the state of organized labor, issues affecting workers, unionized or not. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Stephanie Bloomingdale, Secretary Treasurer of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. So talking about some of the policies and some of the politics of Labor Day. Dennis in Rhinelander is with us. Hello, Dennis.
Hi. I want to thank you for having a show like this. I would encourage you to find a way to talk about labor issues a little more frequently throughout the year. I listen regularly. But in any event, the reason I'm calling is to suggest, although I am a great supporter of labor and have been in a union most of my life, it seems to me that we shouldn't have this happy talk about, you know, what a great day it is to celebrate American labor in a place like Wisconsin, where really for the last 4 or 5 years, life has been disassembled in many ways, especially for organized labor. And I think that the question is, why do the organizations that represent the workers, the AFL-CIO, AFSCME, WEAC, the building trades unions who are part of AFL-CIO, but they have their own separate operation, why have they been so ineffective at conveying the truths that are being spoken here today about the nature of the policies enacted to the degree that the workers in Wisconsin go out and elect representatives who act directly against their economic interests?
Mm-hmm. Stephanie?
People voting against their economic interests is a long-standing problem. And it's up to all of us. And I would say to the caller that really the union movement is not just about any one individual. It really is about all of us, and about to say that we have a stake in this, and we have a responsibility to educate and to motivate and to mobilize around these issues. And so while we have taken significant hits in Wisconsin over these past 5 years, and indeed we have more than any other state in the country, but we have also fought back, and we've also taken this issue and used it as a way to educate more people about what is at stake for our economic future. And so I would disagree with the caller in that we are just saying everything's fine and not doing anything to move forward, because we are. And it is important to never give up, because that's one of the labor union's main stories. We have been through brutal fights before, and no gains for working people in this country have come easy. They will not come easy for us in Wisconsin, but we will continue to fight and to struggle and to make sure that we are pursuing an agenda that helps every working person in Wisconsin achieve a better life for themselves and their families.
Thanks, Dennis, for the call. Jean in La Crosse is with us now. Hi, Jean.
Hi. I am a hardworking faculty member at UWL, and we had how has the union movement affected me? And we had just won the right to have a union that with collective bargaining rights when Act 10 came in, and we lost voice. I see that as it was a direct intent to intimidate. The intimidation has carried on. We've had several years where administration, faculty, other teachers, and other public schools as well, often afraid to speak out on important policy issues because we were intimidated. And the question that I have is the connection between healthcare and what's happened, with unions and also, the ability of Scott Walker to put forth Act 10 and have it accepted by people out front is, has it really come into the public eye, the connection between the fact that so much outsourcing was done in the cave-in and our wages here and our manufacturing sector? A lot of that, I remember that being connected to, well, we've got to move our jobs overseas because we can't afford to pay the health care costs anyway. So instead of us looking at root causes and seeing what's really causing an event, we had a governor who was able to come forth and say the public sector and the public sector employees are sucking the life out of our economy because we're having to pay their health benefits.
Yeah. Is that what happened, Stephanie?
Well, certainly that was a narrative that he wanted to put forth, but we know Jean, she articulates this very well, that the situation that we find ourselves in is largely due to policies that have been put in place by politicians that allowed our jobs, our good manufacturing jobs, to be shipped overseas. And, like my story earlier in the show about a man who was making $13.70 an hour in a manufacturing position 27 years ago in Wisconsin Rapids. And what has happened to the depression of our wages over this time? And it didn't have to be like that, and we have the power to change that as well. Going back to what Jean is talking about, what happened with the faculty and academic staff and classified staff, all the staff at the universities is really bad as well. Not only did he come after their bargaining rights and their ability to come together through a meaningful voice with their union, this year, Scott Walker came after faculty, came after the academic staff, came after the ability of faculty to have academic freedom through their tenure. And what has happened because of that is that we are seeing valuable faculty leaving the state. And and this is not good, because UW system is a crown jewel in the state of Wisconsin that has offered so many opportunities to our the kids of working people. Rich people have always been able to send their kids to some college, okay, a fancy college or private college. This university system was created for working men and women to be able to send their kids if they had the aptitude, if they had the drive, if they had the grades, they could go and get an education. And that is being dismantled by Scott Walker and his policies. And so it really is a shame what has happened in this last year around the taking away of shared governance for faculty, staff, and students, and also the doing away of tenure for professors.
A coalition of national labor union members are holding a national rally today in support of presidential candidate Bernie Sanders. They like his opposition to the Trans-Pacific Partnership and his bill that would raise the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour. So are you in step with Sanders on those two issues?
We are in step with those issues. We have worked very hard to say no to the fast track, which is going to allow the TPP to be negotiated in secret, basically. And this is just another NAFTA. We know that NAFTA did not help working people at all in this country. That proof we can see every day. And certainly we need to lift up this minimum wage. The wage that people are able to have is drawing more and more people into poverty, and we need to lift up these wages. When we see corporations like Walmart have the so much profit but yet not want to share that profit with their workers, that creates a tremendous imbalance in the American economy. And it has to change for our future, because if it doesn't, we are going to see this economic inequality raising even more so. And I'd just like to point out that this not only affects middle-income workers or low-income workers, but also the ultra-poor. And there's a new study that came out that says the number of U.S. residents who are struggling to survive on just $2 a day has more than doubled since 1996, placing 1.5 million households and 3 million children into this desperate economic situation. So, you know, as we drive by, I know in Milwaukee I'm seeing more and more people out on the street with signs at the stoplights asking for money. It's just the number of these folks is just going up each week. And really, this is talking about what's happening with the poorest of the poor in Wisconsin and America. And we have to do things that will reverse this trend by increasing the minimum wage, making sure that we have trade policies that keep jobs at home and help working people to have a better life.
So which of the presidential candidates do you think would be friendliest toward unions and labor?
Well, at this point, we're not endorsing anyone. We do that based on our national unions, and that will be happening, I'm sure, at some point. We'll be mm-hmm. sure to let you know.
Let's go to Gary in Eau Claire next. Hello, Gary.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What is your story?
My father has been a lifelong union member. He received a letter when Scott Walker was running from his union asking him to support him, I guess in Wisconsin here. He's in the operators union. He was just livid. And I guess the results are what we're seeing here. I mean, how could a union ever back the Walker? I just don't understand it.
And the operators union did?
He opted out of the donation program. I mean, he was that upset about it.
But I'm sorry, so his union did back Walker?
Yes, and he's got the letter. I've read it, and I'm calling for him because, I mean, he's 88 years old. He was a lifelong member, operators union, and honestly, he was absolutely just, and again, he called, he complained. How could they back him? I just don't understand it. Walker's done nothing for the unions. It's been a bunch of hollow promises, and then nobody talks about it.
So why would the operators union or any union support Governor Walker, Stephanie?
Each union has their own democratic process for selecting candidates or endorsing candidates, and that's what the operating engineers did at that time. We will see what they do in the future.
Let's go to Todd in Appleton next. Hello, Todd.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I was just calling about the role of some others that were involved in that whole process before Act 10 was enacted, and that is Marty Bell or Marty Beal and Mary Bell, and wondering It just seems they refused to work with Governor Doyle, and that he had other funds that he could raid, the Patriots Compensation Fund and Transportation Fund, and he did that. There was nothing left there for Walker to raid, and so I'm just wondering why they thought it was a good idea to refuse to work with him, because I know he asked them to work with him, and they at first said no. And then he said, well, okay, then this is what we've got to do. And so then they came back and they said, wait. But by then it was too late. And so I'm just wondering if this whole Act 10 and everything else could have been avoided had they been a little bit more flexible and willing to work with the governor.
Stephanie?
I do know that the public sector workers unions did sit down with Governor Doyle, and that Governor Doyle did negotiate with them. They did come up with a contract that should have been passed, but did not get passed. I believe that was in, late in the session in 2010. But that is completely different than what Scott Walker did, which was refusing to negotiate at all and using this opportunity to bust the union's ability to have any say or any meaningful say in their workplace into the future. So two completely different styles of operating, that's for sure.
Ray in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Ray.
Yeah, I'm a union member, proud, for the last 15 years. And my father was a union steward at the Harley-Davidson machine shops, and he's now retired and lives in North Carolina. And when I told him recently what was going on up here, he could not believe it. I mean, I still don't think he believes it. And I said, Dad, machinists working at Harley now do not have to pay into the union. And he said, that can't be true. And I said, well, it is. So I'm doing a shout out now to union members across the country, and especially to Harley union members that are still in the union. Every time Scott Walker gets on a bike that was proudly built by union labor, we need to be out there and visible. We should be real civil about our protests, but we need to be at every stop and make sure that he gets back onto maybe a Chinese-made bicycle or something that was made in a non-union shop in China. And Harley-Davidson executives should not allow him to use union-made product as a prop for his crazy ambitions.
All right, thank you, Ray. We have just a minute to go. Stephanie, what do you think of that?
I agree with him completely. The union men and women who make the Harley-Davidson are proud union members. Union members are proud. They have a love of their unions and a love of their ability to make a better life for themselves and their future. And we're going to continue to do that as we go along. And I agree that people should be thinking about what are the benefits the labor movement has brought to them and their families. And so when people have a choice to join the union or to pay their union dues voluntarily, we all encourage them to absolutely do that, because the only way we're going to fix this country is to stick together and turn this ship around.
Thank you so much for being with us. Stephanie Bloomingdale, Secretary Treasurer of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. Thanks to Bill Martins. He produced and directed this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. This is the Ideas Network.
Every episode of Reveal, we shine a light into the dark corners of the world.
I've investigated a lot of frauds before. I've never